Hi there, I'm Shelley Freelo, and welcome to the Ministry of Marriage podcast on HerFaithRadio.com. I'm an author, speaker, founder, and president of HerFaithVillage.com Ministries, a multifaceted ministry for women and youth. But my main role is as wife to my husband of over 30 years and as women's ministry leader for over 25 years. I'm so happy you were able to tune in for today's podcast. Welcome to the Ministry of Marriage podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we're going to discuss how money tends to divide the hearts of husband and wife. Let's begin in Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. It is worth saying that the promises, instructions, and admonishments of the Bible apply to us individually, but we can also use those same principles as it applies to us as a married couple. I have heard women take money and hide it from their husbands, have husbands who use money as a power play. I've seen husbands and wives get into the worst arguments about money. I've even seen women who said, "This is my money because I've earned it and it's not his, so I can do with it as I please." I've had husbands say, "Well, I'm the breadwinner, so I get to decide whether or not we do this or that." She doesn't have any input at all. And the thing is, nothing is more divided in the household than who controls the purse strings. I've seen women go shopping and put their purchases in their trunks. I've seen men take money and go buy toys for themselves instead of paying bills and taking care of their families. I've seen women want to keep up with the Joneses, so they make their husbands work ungodly hours in order to keep up with the Joneses, and the husbands start to resent the wives for never being satisfied. So God tells us in His Word, don't look just to your own benefit. In other words, listen, ladies, as wives, when it comes to money, I have to say to myself, I don't want this money to cause my husband a burden. My husband has allowed me to be able to do ministry full time. That means that he's the breadwinner. So if I go out and I start spending money just crazily, I start buying $300-$400 dresses, $600 pairs of shoes, all of that pressure is on him. And that would mean that I have no regard for how hard he's worked to take care of our family. That would mean that I have no regard for the pressure that my husband would be under to meet our financial obligations. Sure, there are times in every marriage that we struggle financially. There's times in my marriage where I've struggled financially. But those times that we struggle financially is usually not due to anything of our own making. It's a tax bill that comes up, or someone needed something that we had to help with. And I have to be conscious that what I do with our money directly affects my husband. When I was working, I had no problem with having our money deposited into the same account and then telling my husband, "After you pay the bills, can you give me what's left over?" And I remember sharing that with a group of women, and they were like, "You have got to be crazy. There's no way I would do that. I work all my life and my money's my money and his money is his money. And then we just have a different account for it to go into to pay bills. And he does his thing with his money and I do my thing with my money." And here's my question to that. If God says in His Word that two shall become one, does that not include our money? Does that not include our riches? Does that not include our wealth? That means that if two has become one, that means every aspect of our lives are now joined. And if God has placed my husband as headship, that means that I've got to say, "Listen, Lord, work through him to give him the skills needed to be the head of our household." Now, in our household, my husband has chosen to let me take care of the bills. But that was his choice because he's the leader of our household. If it gets to a point where money is where we divide, where we say, no, we are no longer one when it comes to our money, we are directly contradicting God's word. When God is telling us, let each of you look not to his own interest, that means that when I say, baby, I love you, we're one, except for my money, then I'm saying, I'm looking to my own interest. I'm looking to my own will. I'm not willing to submit to how God designed marriage to be. When I say that we are one, that is what we truly are, one. And that means that this is where prayer comes in. If I have a husband who is not good with money, and I'm good with money, then I have to pray, Lord, show him that he needs to allow me to take care of the bills. If my husband, in our case, my husband is great at planning what we do with the money, but he's not good at facilitating, like getting the bills paid, things like that. So he decides what we're going to do with the money, and then I decide how to get that handled, who gets paid when. But at no time does God call us to become divided when it comes to our money. Let's read 1 John 3:17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? You know, nothing is more comical to me than when I see couples, especially Christian couples in a church, that will help anyone in the church, help their family, help a stranger, but they will not help each other. A wife comes to her husband and says, baby, I'd like to get my hair done. You have more than enough money to do it, but because he does not see that it's worth getting done, he says no. A wife has the money to buy her husband that new toy that he's been asking for, but she has 50 pairs of shoes in her closet and she wants one more, so she says, no, I can't help you. Wow. We're divided over money. See, when we have the mentality of what's mine is mine, what's his is, or even worse, the mentality of what's mine is mine and what's his is mine, how can we be acting as one unit as God has instructed? Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. What is this verse saying? It's saying when we start to divide our money, when we start to cherish the money more than we do the marriage, more than we do the union, we will never be satisfied. We are always trying to accumulate more because the more becomes more important than the we. The more becomes more important than our union. It doesn't matter if my husband's working 60 hours a week to keep me rolling in this beautiful car and stepping out in these lovely shoes and kicking back in this nice house. I know I don't ever see him, but you know, I gotta have all this. When God says, I should be concerned with the interest of others, and that others, ladies, includes our husbands. How can I rest if my husband's spending 60 hours at work trying to provide for me and I still need more? Would it not be more interest-bearing to say, baby, you know what? It's time for you to cut your hours. Let's step down one. Maybe we don't need 5 bedrooms. Maybe we can go down to 4. Will that help you cut back on some of those hours so that we can get back to us again? Get back to the we in our marriage again? Get back to the oneness of our union again? Does it mean that I don't get to go out with the girls in order for me to help save money so my husband doesn't have to worry? Does it mean that we don't take that big vacation to the Bahamas this year because my husband and I are trying to save together? It's important that as we look at our unions, that we do not exclude our money from our unions. You know, the word tells us that where our heart lies, that's where our commitment will be, right? If I am more concerned with my money, how do I really feel about my marriage? And if I value my money more than my marriage, how can I expect my marriage to be a reflection of God's love for the church? So here's my question. Where do you make the divide? Where do you say, hubby, we're one, except for this? Is it time to make a change? Is it time to do things God's way and let go of the fear and what mama said and what sister girl down the street said and start to live our marriages the way God intended? Is it time to do that? And if so, what steps are you taking to get there? Until next time, may God bless your relationships and grow your spirit. Thank you for listening. I'm so happy you tuned in today. Please join us next week for another insightful episode of the Ministry of Marriage podcast. If you would like to be a featured podcaster, contact HerFaithRadio.com. Thank you again for listening.